We're called by your name. We're yours. And nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing could tear us from your hands. So we bless you for your presence here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Could you pick the volume of that? So, okay, could you fix that for me, Victor? I will. Just the volume. So this video is very special because it was made by, let's just start again. This is a video made by a Ahadi, and we're so grateful. That's me. Yeah. So, in Ahadi's words, fun and good memories guaranteed. So you want to show up on June the 9th and bring a friend. So Lord, we bless you for our children. Thank you that you would allow us to be part of the story you're writing in their life, and that you'd allow them to impact us in the ways they do. Father, thank you for just how they love us. Thank you for how you love them. And as they go out today, I pray that it'll be a lot of fun, that they will know that they have a father who loves them, enjoys their company, and they will keep coming back for more. In Jesus' name, amen. I've released the kids, and as the rest of us stand for the reading of scripture. If this is your first time here, my name is Edgar King. I am the pastor, and we are excited that you chose to spend today with us. Now, today's scripture is a little long, and so what I will do is read it over you. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. But you can follow along on the screen. I have revealed your name to those who you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those that you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is that you take them My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, for they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, that the world will know that you sent me and you have loved them as you have loved me also. Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Blessed be the word of the Lord. And now you see part, you may be seated. Now you see partly why I have us reading together, because then you cover me when I'm reading my own stuff. So we are getting to the end of the series we've been doing. I'm going to be preaching at a different church next Sunday, and I'm going to do a talk that is supposed to have been the crown of it all. Lydia will be here next Sunday and put the cherry on top. So this is it. This is me as lead pastor saying, I am charging you. Go out and do this. And so it only makes sense that we go back to Jesus' prayer for the church. The scripture we just read was Jesus closer and closer to his death. He's praying for his disciples. And then he said, not just them, but those who will believe in me through them. So that's you and me. This is Jesus praying for Trinity Vineyard. This is Jesus in the spirit looking at a time like this when we'll be sitting here looking forward to celebrate our 10th anniversary, and he's saying, Lord, I'm praying for them too. I'm praying for Chris. I'm praying for Ken. I'm praying for George. I'm praying. Jesus was praying for you. And one of the things he says is, okay, I've done my part, but I'm not going to be in the world any longer. They are. So Jesus has completed his mission, and he is happy with the work he has done. The remaining piece, the cross was coming, was just the crown of it all. It's at the cross and through the resurrection that Jesus is crowned king. So Jesus has finished his mission, and we're just going into the crescendo, and he's saying, okay, I'm not going to be in the world any longer. You are. So think about it this way. Tag, you're it. It's your turn now. He's telling them, it's your turn now to do everything, to be to the world everything I have been to the world up until this point. So Peter and James and John, all these people are looking at him, and he is saying to them, I'm not going to be around. It's time for you guys and girls, because there are some women who also were following Jesus. And he's telling them, it's now time for you to be to the world what I have been. And that is the same thing he's saying to Trinity Vineyard. It's time for us to be to Nakuru what Jesus has been to the world. And you know, the last 2 weeks we've talked about the proclamation and the demonstration of the kingdom of God. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit fills us. And you know, then we get to do the things of the kingdom. It's just a few verses above this that we read that. When Jesus said, you've heard my words and you've seen what I did. And here is the thing. Jesus is saying, all that was about, I have completed. But what was it about? What was it about? It's in the beginning of the prayer Jesus made. I have revealed your name. Everything Jesus was doing was for the sake of revealing God's name. So it's a family business. It's about the name we carry. All the stuff we've talked about through the weeks, caring for the poor, healing the sick, and, you know, making Jesus the center so that everyone else is welcome. All that stuff we talked about. Jesus is saying everything was about revealing God's name. Now, my family is interesting. None of us, well, maybe the last two who are very newer. I have two very young siblings. But none of us actually shares my dad's name. There's only one kid in the family who has my dad's last name. And so, you know, I remember going to get my government ID, and the officer, you know, looking at my dad's papers, because you need those to prove that you're Kenyan, looked and said, "Well, why don't you have your dad's name?" I'm like, "I just never had it. Do you want to adopt it now?" I'm like, I wasn't sure I wanted to. I just felt unique. And then he goes, "Don't worry, you'll be back here." I'm like, "Well, if I need to, tell me now." But none of us shares our dad's name yet. At the same time, we all knew. We just all know. This is something we get in our culture here, that you represent your family. You know, what happens when people get into trouble and they start name dropping? Right, I remember at a police stop, and I need to stop talking about the police stops because there are only two. But on the last police stop, this guy was flagged down, and he started calling all the police bosses he knows. What is he doing? He's name dropping. But it even gets funnier when it's someone's. You know, if it's the child of a big person, what do they say? "Do you know whose child I am? Do you know who my father is?" There's a story I heard of some kid who was stopped by police, and his father was a high-ranking military officer, and he's in Kenya, and he said, "Do you know who my father is?" And the dad showed up for real. But he was in a lot of trouble. Why? Because he was disgracing the family name. As a people, as a culture, we know what a big deal the family name is. You know? We carry our, sometimes, we carry our family names with pride. "Who are you?" "Well, I am Kenya." "Well, I'm not. I'm, you know, like, I cannot wait. You know, these friends of mine, they're the Kenyas, you know. I cannot wait when I will, oh no. Why are we going there again? Okay. There's a meme that goes, "I've made my own people," and then just name them King, 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 and maybe one of them, just give them my full name, Edgar Awar King II. You know, there's a pride in carrying a family name. We know it, and even if you don't come from a culture where family names are a big deal, we know what it's like when we have leaders of our governments going to represent us. There's some people who are just like, "Oh, please do not let him speak for this country." Why? We have a family name. So this is what Jesus is talking about. He has revealed his Father's name. And as Trinity turns 10, I keep reminding us that our story as a church is not isolated. If we're going to uniquely be who God has called us to be in this city, we must tap into the story of the church. What did Jesus call the church to be? Otherwise, we'll have great values, we'll have maybe great songs, we'll have maybe great welcome, but it will be detached from the very reason the church exists, and that becomes pointless. You cannot have the kingdom without the king. We cannot have the good things of church without being aware of who the church has been called to be. And I'm telling you that for Jesus, he's looking at this moment and going, "I have revealed your name, Lord." And then he says to the disciples, "Tag, you're it. I'm not going to be around any longer, but they are still in the world." And then as Jesus is praying about all this, he says, and it's not just this small group of people. It's even those who will believe in me through them. Lord, may they carry your name. He's thinking about Trinity Vineyard. And Jesus is saying, tag, you're it. I have revealed the Father's name. I'm not going to be around in the world any longer. But you are. Trinity Vineyard has been called to bear God's name. The end of last year, we were talking about the name of God. And there was a talk I had hoped to give, and then for some reasons I couldn't. And I can see that God worked it out better, because I can't see a better time than this to talk about how we carry God's name as a people. And one of the things I kept mentioning is that names were more than just taglines. Names were more than just titles. It isn't, this is a human called Edgar. No, when people who know me hear the name Edgar, a certain person, a certain character comes to mind. Names are more than just titles. And for God, he was with Moses on the mountain of Sinai, depending on which one you hear. But he's with Moses, and he proclaims his name. And we sat there for weeks, because I want us to get that the name of God is more than just one other thing to call God. No, the name of God reveals the character of God. And so we kept reading from Exodus 34. The Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their parents to the fourth and the third, to the third and the fourth generation. And this scripture was for the Jewish community what John 3:16 is for the church. This was the center of their theology about God. This is why that particular scripture is repeated and quoted throughout scripture by scripture itself. Because if you ever wondered who is their God, they would say, our God is Yahweh, the gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in covenant-keeping love and forgiving. The part we never got to is towards the end, where it says, do not worship any other god, for Yahweh, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. And you know, nothing positive comes to our mind when we think about jealousy, right? And part of the problem is we're thinking of the ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend who could not stand seeing you stand next to anyone else, right? But this isn't the idea here. Okay, a couple of things. One, it's the idea. Think of a spouse who jealously protects the marital bed, because only they know the journey they've come together. And so the new lovers in town just don't get it. They see your glory, they see your beauty, but they don't know the good, the bad, the ugly like I do. That's the fierce jealousy that the scripture is referring to. Yet another way to read that is God who is jealous for his name. Because God's name is holy, it was important, very important, that his name is represented in the right way. Like, don't mix with any other God, because it matters to me how you represent my name. At the mountain of Sinai, they were becoming God's people, and God was becoming their God. They were making a covenant, and here God is telling them, I am jealous for my name. It matters to me how my name is represented out there, so be careful. And you know, the reason they were blessed was because the name of God was upon them. They continued later, this conversation continues, and Moses is told how the priests will bless the Israelites. And we know some of that song. We know a song coming from that scripture. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Don't we like that song? It ends with, And there, and this is the way they will put my name on the people, and I will bless them. The reason they were blessed is because the name of God was upon them. So the priests would have the name of Yahweh on their forehead, and the tribes of Israel written on the shawls they would wear. Because what the priest does is represent God to the people and people to God. But we often forget that Israel was called to be a kingdom of priests. So in essence, what they were called to do is present God to the world and the world to God. And God is jealous for his name. Actually, so many times the Israelites got into trouble, God would say, "You have profaned my name." That's what a big deal God's name is. You have profaned my name. You have dishonored my name. There's a verse in Ezekiel where God is talking about how his name has been profaned, and he's about to rescue the Israelites. And this is what he says: "Despite you profaning my name, I will do this for the sake of my name." Why? What God was saying is, I will remain gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in covenant-keeping love and forgiving, not because you guys have been any good, but because I am jealous for my name. It matters. It matters to God. Do you catch what's happening? The name of God is all it's been about. And why does this matter? Because Jesus sees himself as coming along that same line. For Jesus, it's not about any other thing. It's a continuation of what God has been doing from the beginning, revealing his name to creation. So towards the end of Jesus' life, As he feels that he has accomplished his mission, what does he say? "Father, I have revealed your name." In other words, Jesus is saying, "Father, anyone who's seen me has seen that you are gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in covenant-keeping love." This was the mission, and then he hands it to us. Tag, you're it. See, sometimes we want to narrow the story we've been invited to. We want to go, "Oh, well, we're this kind of church and we're that kind of church." And God isn't interested in any of that. Instead, we're invited to a bigger story. We're invited to join God in his mission, not us create a mission and then hope God blesses it. We're invited to join God in his mission. And what was the mission? "Lord, I have revealed your name. Now I'm not going to be in the world any longer. They are." So hopefully this brings alive, you know, the way God values his name, the way his name is holy, brings alive to you why Jesus makes that prayer, and also brings alive to you why the prayer that Jesus taught starts with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." It's all about revealing the name of God. And so last week we read from Acts when Jesus is sending them out a little after this point, and he says, "You will be my witnesses throughout the world." Okay, so let's put those together. Jesus is saying, "I bore witness to the name of God. I revealed his name. I was a great witness. And now you, one, you have the Holy Spirit. So I am in you and you're in me. Two, it's now your turn." Actually, the disciples, when Jesus was resurrected, they were, you know, and finally some of them were coming around to like, oh, okay, we thought the story was over, but he's here now. They asked Jesus, "Will you now restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus' response is, actually, "You will receive power." It's the same line. Tag, you're it. Will you now restore the kingdom? You will receive power. Like, that's not exactly the answer to the question we asked, right? But it's exactly what Jesus is saying. No, it's your turn. It's your turn. And then go be my witnesses. In other words, you will bear my name. It's all the way back to that mountain. I want Trinity Vineyard to realize that Sinai matters even today. That how we bear the name of God matters to this day. That has always been the charge. The church has been called to bear his name. And you know, just like in my family with different surnames, we might be called different things. Trinity Vineyard, Trinity Chapel, or you know, there was a church many years ago, a Mighty Finger of God or something like that. Whatever the name sounds like, the call is always the same. Bear the name of God. We have been called to be a kingdom of priests. That we will reveal the name of God to our city. The world is looking at you. When you go to work, when you drive your kids off to school, when you're stopped by the police, when you're in terrible trouble, the world is looking at you to see the Father. The world isn't worried about the tent. We are. The world isn't worried about our gear. We are. The world isn't worried. You know, no one is saying, they claim to be Christians, but look at how torn their tent is. No one's saying that. They claim to be Christians, but you know, the pastor doesn't have the latest Prado. No one's saying that. The biggest question when they encounter me and you is whether we are reflecting God as gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in covenant-keeping love and forgiving. Tag, you're it. Will you bear the name of God? Now, speaking of witnesses, I love courtroom dramas. And there are several kinds of witnesses. One, there's a false witness. They go to court and they tell lies. That's a problem, right? And it's possible, you know, when we think of the commandment that says, do not bear the name of Yahweh your God in vain, right? We're thinking, don't cuss. One of the worst things you'd say in my family is, you know, one of the worst things you do in my family growing up is constantly saying, oh my God, mom would not like that. Right. Thank God I live alone. No, I'm kidding. And it's true. It is about, well, you know, we're thinking so narrowly about it, but it actually quite meant, do not bring up the name of Yahweh for no good reason, and especially definitely not a falsehood. Isn't it sad to see that sometimes the church is a false witness? There's a terrible thing on TikTok of a pastor who's claiming to be doing God's work, but he's doing really silly things. And it's embarrassing. Because he's raising the name of our God in things that are not of him. But it's easier to pass judgment on others. But they're not here. God is speaking to you and to me. When we raise the name of God, is it in truth? How many people, often people, you know, I swear to God. Why do people do that? So that they manipulate you. Like, no, just tell me the truth. You don't have to swear to God. Like, why are you raising it? No, I'm just trying to make you think that I would never lie to you. we bring up the name of God for our own reasons of manipulation. Or sometimes, how many times in the church world people have used the words God has said, and then they take advantage of people. It's wrong. But the question for us, for me and you, is every time I am representing God, is it in truth? Is it in truth? And the other side of it, there are certain witnesses in courtrooms that even when they tell the truth, no one believes them, right? There's certain witnesses who have such bad reputation that the lawyers will not put them on the stand. Because they're just, there's a word for it. Ken Bonner. Okay, thank you. Their character is so bad that the lawyers would not put them on the stand. Right? And sometimes we are busy wearing the t-shirts with scripture on them, singing the right songs, saying the right words, but no one believes us because they see how we live. And that's a problem. Can people look at our lives and match them to the words? So maybe, I never liked that song, but it does have truth in it. Tazamamatendo. You know that song? You see, sadly, the church is mostly known for what we're against instead of what we're for, right? And, you know, we if you walk out there, and this is, you know, pretty much a, you know, so many people will tick the box Christian, but some people are so hurt by the church, and if you ask them, and in the West, it's growing even more, but if you ask them, What comes to your mind when you think about church? They're thinking of people being intolerant, right? They're thinking of people who are anti-gay. Now, I'm not even saying that people who believe that God has prescribed a sexual ethic for us to live by. I mean people who actually hate people who live by a different ethic. When people hear the word church, we're known as people who hate other religions, especially when countries begin to call themselves Christian nations. In no time, people of other religions are in trouble, and especially the Muslims. Sadly, when people hear church, we're known for what we're against and not what we're for. When Jesus said, "By this they will know that you're my disciples." How does he finish it if you've read the book? I highly recommend that you read the book. You know what he says? They'll know you're my disciples by the songs you sing. No. They'll know you're my disciples by how long you pray. No. They'll know you're my disciples because you speak in tongues. No. They'll know you're my disciples because you heal the sick. No. How does it put it again? They'll know you're my disciples if you love one another. They'll know you're my disciples, and then it goes back to Sinai. If you bear my name as gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in covenant-keeping love and forgiving. Because that, you see, John, the guy who writes this, later on in just one verse thinks about how else could I describe God? And he says, God is love. When John looks at Jesus, who revealed God's name which is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in covenant-keeping love and forgiving. When John looked at all that, he said, God is love. And so Jesus is looking at you, he's looking at Trinity Vineyard and saying, they will know We've been called to be witnesses. We've been called to bear his name, and they will know that we are his disciples if we, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in covenant-keeping love, and forgiving each other. Jesus taught and said, you know, be perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. And when we hear that, we're just going, oh, but no one is perfect. It wasn't about perfection as we think of it. It is more about be whole. Be whole as your Father in heaven is whole. And scholars agree that Jesus is actually quoting from Leviticus 19, where the children of Israel are about to be given ways to be holy. And God says, be holy, for I am holy. Okay, when we hear holy, we think of moralism, right? I better behave myself. I better behave myself because that's what holiness is. And actually, that's not true. Holiness means being set apart, being wholly devoted to the divine. So everything else flows out of that place. So it's not even a question of whether these other things matter. No, that's not in dispute. What I'm saying is it's devotion that births everything else. So God is saying, be devoted to me as I am devoted to you. Now, you would think that God would say, be holy because it's a great way to live. You would think God would say, be holy because then you will live a stress-free life. You'd think God would say, be holy because that's how you get blessed and you know. No, actually God just says, be holy. Why? Because I am holy. The idea is, hey, be holy because you have my name on you. So Jesus is taking us back to that point. Be holy because I have my name on you. He's telling the church, he's telling his disciples, be perfect here, be holy because our God is holy. And the strange thing is, when God starts expounding that, as Moses is telling the children of Israel what the Lord had said, God starts talking about, okay, you will worship no other God, and you will keep the Sabbath. And then guess where he starts going? Like, when you harvest your fields, don't finish everything so that the poor and the foreigner could have something to eat. Like, wait, Lord, we were talking about holiness. Yes. It matters how you treat the poor and how you treat those who have no voice because they're not like you. God, we're talking about holiness. Now you're talking about my economics. Yes, it matters what you do with your money. Be holy, for I am holy. And then God says, don't lie to one another. Don't deceive one another. Don't take advantage of one. Wait, God, we're talking about holiness. Yes. It boils down to how we treat each other and those around us. And even when Jesus is teaching, be perfect for your Father in heaven is perfect. Do you know what he has just taught above? Love your enemies. Like, wait, is this the reflection of God's perfection? Yes. Everything else flows out of that place. What about calling for fire and casting out demons and praying for the sick and all the nice stuff we talked about last weekend? Guess what? Every time Jesus did that, it was out of compassion. He didn't do it to show off his power. Scripture always reads, and Jesus, moved by compassion, healed. It's always about his name. So Jesus looks at his disciples and says, I have revealed God's name. It's your turn. If anything else matters, if anything truly matters, of everything we've talked about the last several weeks, carry this with you. Let our spouses, our friends, our colleagues, people who don't know us, look at us and say, I have seen gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in covenant-keeping love, and forgiving. Let us finish the day and say, Lord, I have revealed your name. But if we are honest with ourselves, we don't always do it right. I'm sure some people have met me and they went home saying, that is, oh yeah. So I was traveling, this is years ago, we were meeting a bunch of worship leaders in Arusha and we were from different places. And there was a guy from a country and I could mimic the accent. And you know, we do that a lot in Kenya, so I thought it was okay. And so every time we'd be driving back, I would doing my fake accent from their country. And then I realized he just stopped talking to us. So we met in the bathroom because that's where all guys have important conversations. And I said, dude, I think I've offended you. And he went, yes, you did not look like Jesus. Okay, I'm almost doing it. Okay. Sorry, I just got, yeah. And he looked at me and said, you did not look like Jesus. You know, if you don't know, I have had to call people and write some because they've been hurt here. Sometimes by me, sometimes by some of you. And I had to go, oh, I'm so sorry that that happened. And they go away saying, oh, they did not look like Jesus. Sometimes it happens. Yet I'm grateful for the moments where I've heard people say, oh, I felt loved. Someone took care of me. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for forgiving me. So if they ask you out there, what kind of church are you? Tell them we are a church that will radically bear God's name. Nothing else matters. No one will ask you at the end of this journey, no one will ask you how many people did you heal. No one will ask you what kind of beautiful church did you build. Kanisa litajengwa na kina nani. No one will ask you how many hours did you put in praying in tongues. Those things are very important. They are formative. Jesus will look at us and say, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was lonely, sitting at the corner of the church, you came and said hi. When no one else would invite me, you said we could have lunch together. When I was down and out, you said, hey, you could sit with me. Let's go. Let's walk through this. That I looked at you and saw that the Lord is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in covenant-keeping love. And thank God for the Holy Spirit because He is forming that in us. We can trust God to make us who He saw Trinity Vineyard to be. That moment Jesus was praying for the church. And He said, I have revealed your name. Now, protect them by the same name. Why don't we stand? I want to invite the band back on stage. And this is why every weekend, one of the things I really enjoy is saying the blessing every weekend. And you notice that at the end, I always say, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's always a charge to all of us to go out there and bear His name. Yet in this moment, all I want us to do is just bring before Jesus areas in our lives are we going, Lord, I want to be more patient. Lord, give me some self-control. And it's not like it'll just, you know, happen overnight. It is a journey we're invited to. Patience is a journey we're invited to. Joy is both a gift and a journey we're invited to. Self-control is both a gift and a journey you're invited to. That at the end of it all, that when we gather here on the 9th, we'll say, Lord, thank you because for 10 years, some people have seen through us that you're gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love and forgiving. And then at the beginning of our next 10 years, we'll say, Father, we want this city to only see you. But it's not going to happen when they come in here. It's when you go out there. Tag, you're it. I'm going to invite our prayer teams up front. Just take a couple minutes and I'll come and release us. If you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you.